Arturo Toscanini is widely considered the greatest conductor of the modern age and remains a towering figure in the world of classical music. His passions, dynamic music making, and legendary leadership continue to inspire and influence today's musicians as well as audiences. The new book and audio presentation, This Was Toscanini, is a first-hand behind-the-scenes musical portrait of the maestro, told from the unique perspective of the first violinist, Samuel Antec, who was fortunate to play under Toscanini's baton for 17 years in the famed NBC Symphony Orchestra. In the second edition and expanded edition of This Was Toscanini, The Maestro, My Father, and Me, Samuel Antec's reflections on playing with the maestro gain new facets of insight from his daughter, Lucy Antec Johnson, as she shares recollections about her father and his most memorable musical partnership. Again, the name of the book is This Was Toscanini, and it's a pleasure to welcome Lucy Antec Johnson to the roundtable this morning. Lucy, thank you very much for being with us.
Well, a delight to be with you. Thank you.
So how did this come to be? Of course, this book was published posthumously after Samuel passed, and then it comes out again. Give us an idea of the history of this publication.
Well, it was first published in the early 60s, posthumously, as you mentioned, because my father had tragically died very young. But the family did get it published with the publisher, and it got fabulous notices. It was and still remains a classic of a first-person narrative of what it was like to be a musician working for the most legendary conductor, Arturo Toscanini. And he was a rock star at the time, so the curiosity about him was, you know, very enhanced. What was he really like? So it came out at a very propitious time, but also lasted all these decades as a go-to book about the music making and a behind the scenes of what it was like to make music with the maestro. It is not a biography. About 4 years ago, which I published a new edition of my dad's original memoir, because it is a memoir, but I added my own essays about what it was like to grow up at such a classical time in music history and in a musical home, because my father was a violinist. He was a first violinist for the NBC Symphony, and also then was growing a pretty good reputation as a symphony conductor. So I decided to reissue the book but enhance it, which is when it got the subtitle The Maestro, My Father, and Me, because I'm the me. And recently, and also it got very good response, and recently I did the audio version, which I'm particularly proud of because I have been able to add music cues from the original symphony recordings that illustrate the narrated text, because there are no photographs to look at, of course, in an audio book. So it's a terrific and complete listening experience where you're not just listening to the wonderful narration, but it gets populated by selections throughout the book that refer to things that my father or I write about. So it's a whole new iteration. And so there are three. Maybe soon it'll be a mini series. Who knows? But right now it's an audiobook based on the new edition I did a few years ago.
As you mentioned, it is a memoir and you're telling your story. I'm curious as to your memories as the first time you heard the name Toscanini and were aware exactly of your father, as you mentioned earlier, died very young, but when you were aware of what his job was and what he was doing it and who he was doing it with?
Oh, great question. I was born quite a few years after the NBC Symphony was created, and it was created for Maestro Toscanini by RCA and became an internationally known symphony. So by the time I came along, it was very well established, and the maestro's presence in our lives was very significant. And even though I was too young to attend the live broadcasts in Studio 8H or even in Carnegie Hall every Saturday night, they were on the radio, and I was allowed to stay up late and listen to the live broadcast. So not only was the Toscanini's picture on the piano since before I can remember, and in fact still is on the same piano to this day, but the whole experience of my father playing first violin was part of our lives. During my younger years, my father also established a reputation as a very fine symphony conductor. So as much as I remember him practicing the violin in the living room, and we'd all have to tiptoe around the house, I also remember him sitting at the piano working out a symphony score for a concert he might be conducting that week with the New Jersey Symphony, for whom he was musical director. And so I had a very broad experience with him as a musician. As I said, not just practicing the violin, but watching him and listening and being allowed to listen in to his working through a score, which for me, and I was had just begun piano lessons, to see a whole symphonic score laid out with all the different musical parts, it was fascinating to me. My dad also became quite famous because he was always on the radio being interviewed, and he was writing articles for different magazines and newspapers. So I learned early on that I'd have to share him a little bit with the public. And especially when I went to his children's concerts, which became very popular with the New Jersey Symphony and ultimately with the Philadelphia Orchestra, I would stand in the wings, and I would just be so thrilled to know that he was my dad, and he and I would be going home together. So even when the kids surrounded him afterwards for signing autographs and stuff, I felt particularly proud because he was my hero.
Sure.
And so it was a very musical household, and Toscanini was very much a part of the atmosphere, because my dad would come home at night and talk about the rehearsals or the recordings, you know, studio and the sessions and how grueling it was. And little did I know that those stories would be ultimately what the book turns out to be. So, yes, I had a very broad experience.
You write in the book, "Reading my father's words, I developed an unexpected soft spot for the old man," quote unquote, speaking of Toscanini. "He was no longer just an imposing figure in the photo on the top of our piano and the one making timeless music on our radio. He was a man of many colorful dimensions whom I grew to respect, honor, and yes, enjoy, outrageous outbursts and all. This irascible, brilliant, politically courageous, privately shy force of nature was someone I'd have loved to have known." Talk a little bit of how those thoughts were formed by your father's words and his obvious interest in capturing this large force of life, Arturo Toscanini.
Well, as I said, I grew up where Toscanini was present in our household, even though he wasn't standing there or coming to dinner with us. He was ever present, and then I would hear the stories. But I was a kid. And now, all these decades later, as I started to do more research and reread the original book and look at my dad's letters and look at and listen to radio interviews that he would give about working with the maestro, because it was a very specific experience, his book and my honoring these two musicians, which is a tribute to both of them, really, is about music making. And in my research in these last couple of years of rereading so much material and also listening to hours and hours of the recordings I felt I got to know Toscanini in a different way than as a 10-year-old kid hearing about him. I had felt I had a more firsthand experience. And how many dimensions he had as a man. I was particularly struck by his political stance when he stood up to Hitler and Mussolini. And one of the sad but specific reasons why he had to leave Italy in 1939 and why he chose to accept this American invitation to start this orchestra, because it was getting more difficult and more difficult to live freely as an artist in Italy. And that's a part of his life that was known but is often not referred to anymore. And that's the part I responded to greatly, because I saw his compassion and I felt his compassion for not being so political about art. And great art is timeless, and his influence is timeless. Even though he's still remembered for his brilliance as a conductor and as a musician, and his music making was very specific to honoring composers' works and honoring their intentions, he was also a very tumultuous personality and was very famous or infamous for some of his outbursts in the rehearsals. And I felt I got to know him better, albeit at arm's length, not firsthand, but through all of this research, and saw how many different colors he had, and also got introduced to how social he was and how much he loved to talk to the musicians off the stage. He could be one kind of guy in a rehearsal or a recording session, and a very open, receptive, entertaining person when talking in a social situation. And that's what struck me, that what I have loved to have been not only a fly on the wall, but had, as a grown-up, the opportunity, which was never going to happen, of course, to be in his presence, to feel the power of his personality and the joy in what he was doing.
Well, the project is This Was Toscanini. The Maestro, My Father and Me is a book. It is also new in the audiobook format, featuring original NBC Symphony excerpts, which is just incredible. Published by Brown Books. Lucy Antek Johnson, I thank you so much for being with us. A great pleasure to have you on the program.
Well, what a pleasure to be here. And I just want to say the audiobook is available on all audio platforms. It's digital, so it's just a few clicks away.
Audible, Spotify, Apple Music, Deezer, anything you can think of, it's there. Lucy, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Joe.
Thank you.
Thank
Be well.
You.
Again, this was Toscanini, The Maestro, My Father, and Me by Lucy Antek Johnson. It's published by Brown Books in both book and audiobook formats. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.